3 o'clock hour. That's Georgie Music. Our 3 o'clock hour theme song. I am delighted right now because I challenged Jimmy at the start of the show. Show us a little bicep. He's wearing a basketball jersey. What is that? The hammerhead. Hey. Look at that. Look at the flex from Jimmy.
Jimbo.
When's last time you said he did a curl? Might be a lot sooner than you were saying.
Yeah. I thought you'd be a hairy little fella. You ain't got no hair.
I have more hair on my
Jimmy.
Legs and on my chest.
Yeah, how the ladies like.
Hamburger meat out. Jimmy has one arm very muscular. Very, very muscular. The other one.
Jimmy enjoys Jimmy, huh?
Uh-huh. Jimmy, you should embrace that. You and I should embrace this look. You know, I like a sleeveless t-shirt. You and I, we should, you know, start pulling McAfee's every day and just start rocking jerseys every day, bro. It's a good look on you. I like it.
Let's do it.
So tell us, we're a little up against time. Aronde Gadsden's going to join us this hour. Jimmy, tell us about jury duty. So for those of you who didn't hear yesterday, Jimmy was, he was very, very nervous all weekend and Monday as well. He was very nervous. He had jury duty. He was bummed when Friday he got the call, the dreaded phone call that he had to attend on Monday morning. And he's texting me while he's going. And he's like, if I get out, I'll be at the studio. And then, funny enough, he was let out and he told me he didn't want to come in. But whatever. I digress. Jimmy, what happened yesterday where you texted me at like 2:05, right around the time the show started, like, I got chosen. And I'm like, okay, bro, like, you know, sorry, but no problem. We'll talk about it later. And then about 8 minutes later, you texted me, never mind, just got let out. And then you said they got confused with another Garcia. So take us through what happened yesterday because, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've done jury duty a couple times. Everybody, first of all, it's a federal building. It's not like, you know, a random person. It's not like, Arnaldo at the gas station who's just picking people out of a hat. Like, I mean, this is a federal building. Everybody has a number, a juror number in the juror pool. Like, how did they get Garcia's mixed up? Did that really happen, or were you just kind of hanging around not realizing you probably could have left 2 hours prior and you just didn't realize?
No, it was a mistake on their part. They even told me, like, oh, we messed up, and you know, you're good to go. And the other Garcia was like in my section, so that's probably why they got confused with the other Garcia. Huh.
Jimmy, when they asked you guys the questions to like figure out if you were gonna serve on the jury, did you answer them as confidently as you're answering the last questions in this segment?
Yes, absolutely.
Give me an example.
They asked me if I would be a fair juror, and I told him, yeah, I would be.
Out of way.
And I know. They asked me about the last civil case I was chosen for, and I told them all about it.
Yeah. You were on a jury before this one?
Yes. Yeah, in 2023.
You're just a habitual juror? This is crazy. Josh, I don't know. We've talked about it before. Josh, I've never been on a jury. I'm 41 years old. I've never been on a jury.
I did for the first time. I've only been a jury duty one time, and I got selected for like a two-day case a few months back. That's the only time ever. And you mean to tell me, Jimmy, that you served on a jury in 2023, were called back, and nearly served on a second jury in 2 years?
Well, this would have been my third selection.
What?
Yes. I did one criminal case and a civil case.
Huh.
Are you two?
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Were you the fourth person?
No, I was no. I didn't want to be the fourth person.
Well, yeah, I know your juries were hung because you'll never make a decision.
We did make a decision.
You were the last one to decide, though.
No.
You held up everybody's day. Oh, well, maybe he didn't shoot him. I don't know.
Well, but luckily in that criminal case, I was the alternate juror. So I got to go home. I wasn't part of the decision.
Could you imagine your freedom hangs in the balance and you look over it?
I ask myself that question every day.
And it's Jimmy, it's Jaime Garcia who gets to decide your fate.
With his roller hockey basketball sleeveless jersey.
He's shrugging his shoulders off bat. I don't know.
I don't know if he's guilty, Jimmy, or not.
Jimmy, on behalf of our Constitution, our branches of government, as a citizen of these United States, I would like to thank you for committing your time, your effort, and your service to this country. Thank you very much, Jimmy Garcia.
You're welcome. They'll probably call me again next year.
Yeah, they got a duck now.
Now put your shirt. Put your shirt back on, please.
They got an easy win. Hey, call this Garcia guy. He loves being around here.
What do people do? They just throw the jury duty ticket away? Like, isn't that what people do? Because I've actually been called a couple times. I've never been selected. I've gone. I watched two Sandra Bullock movies. Oh, look at that! Appel has a certificate of appreciation. To your middle name is Scott.
My middle name is Scott.
How did we not know that? Holy hell! You are the most Scott person I've ever met. Joshua Scott Appel. That makes so much sense.
It's funny. So when I auditioned to be an announcer for WWE a few years ago, I was thinking in my head, like, all right, like, if this happens, like, what am I going to go by? I'm not going to go by my regular name. And I was just thinking, I go by Josh Scott. The first two names be perfect. I'm a Scott.
That sounds cool.
Jimmy, where's your Scott's certificate? Here with.
It's in the internet.
It's inside of the internet.
Inside the internet.
I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah,
please.
It's funny. I don't know. To your point, Solana, I don't know if I've ever been called to do it because if I don't, like, I know my mail, and if it's mail outside of my normal mail, I throw it out.
Yeah, no, I just wonder because there's people like Crowder who have just never gotten to jury duty, and I've been called to jury duty four times in my life. And every time I go, like, all right, I'll be there. But I'm fascinated with, like, the court systems, and I would love to be on a jury trial. I would love to be the pool person. Like, that stuff fascinates me. But I know some people, they just can't stand it. They want nothing to do with it, and they'll just rip up that card, and they claim negligence or ignorance, right? Yeah. Like, they just claim that they never got it.
So you say you love the judicial system, like, you want to be a part of? Well, what is, you love the judicial system?
To America.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I love the judicial system. I'm just saying I love the idea of being in a courtroom and watching litigation and watching a lawyer fight for somebody's right. And I don't know. I like that. I appreciate it. And I would like to be in a jury one day, like, be in the courtroom, part of a jury trial. I've never experienced that. I would like to. I'd like to do it as a member of the jury trial, not as somebody who is there, you know, sitting as a defendant.
I'm about to
or
say,
whatever.
Take a screwdriver to the gas station and ask them for all their money. You'll see what happens. I guarantee I couldn't get picked because they ask you questions, and I'll be honest with them. And I'm like far ends of every question. There's no mid-ground for me.
Well, that's what my dad tried to do once. He went, and my dad, they asked him, would you be a fair jury? He's like, nope, I would not. I judge everybody. I have preconceived notions, whatever. Yeah. And the judge is like, oh, okay, really? Okay, well, guess what? Don't worry. You won't be on the trial, but you're going to sit in the courtroom next to me the entire time. Because like the judge was like, okay, all right. Yeah, you want to play that game, Mr. Solana? Guess what? You're not going to be selected, but I am legally obligating you to sit here and watch this. So you can't even pull that anymore.
I think that's why I ended up getting picked, because I was a little too honest. Like, I took the questions that the defense attorneys were asking me a little too serious, or the prosecution was asking me a little too seriously. And I think that's what ended up getting me picked for the jury. I don't have it in me to just, like, pull a pull a move that your dad did and just make up an answer to get out of it. I was too honest. I was too earnest.
Now that I think about it, can you be on a jury if you've ever been convicted of a felony?
Ooh, I don't know. I would say no, but that's my guess. I don't know that for sure. I would have to.
Now I'm thinking about it. That's why I probably never, because I've never got, I haven't thrown it out. You can tell if it's a government document, but I do. I had withheld adjudication for one of my arrests in Gainesville on a felony charge that went to the state. So that's probably, they think I'm a felon.
If in most jurisdictions, have, well, they,
I don't know if they think
AI.
I'm a felon. I'm actually a felon.
Yeah. If you do have a criminal past.
if yes. you have a felony conviction, you are not eligible to serve on a jury in Florida.
Oh, boy. I knew something good came of that.
Lucky. Damn.
You know what I found out, though? That once you turn 70, you're exempt from being a juror. But you don't have, I mean, you can if you want to, but you don't have to. It becomes optional.
You're exempt from being a juror, but you are actually in perfect position to run this country if you're 70 plus.
That's actually too young.
Yeah.
Jimmy, do you send in like an application? How are you a juror 3 out of 5 years?
I have no clue. Like I
Jimmy.
Well, no, I mean, they listen to the show. They know. They listen to this show. They know Jimmy and I don't do anything. You're like, all right, these two are good. They can miss work. No problem.
Like, let's get these suckers.
Do you get paid?
Yes, but very little.
Yeah, they give you I don't remember exactly what it is, but if you're not a salaried worker, a stipend, I think.
Yeah, it's different whether you're like an independent contractor or salaried somewhere, but they basically give you what you would have made that day, I guess. I didn't get a lot. But it was something, and a certificate, and a great experience, and new friends.
Oh, I'll do this jury now, because I can, man, I have my CPA write some stuff up.
I'm telling you, bro, I got called down. This is not too long ago. I got called down. This is the fourth time I get called down. I'm sitting in the waiting room in the Miami-Dade County Courthouse. I've been there fourth time, and again, I'm watching the same two Sandra Bullock movies, The Blind Side, and... And what's the other one? The proposal? No, the proposal where she marries this guy because she's Canadian. Yeah, which I would imagine that movie has since been taken out. But I watched those two movies. Literally, I'm there 4 hours. And at around lunchtime, they tell you to go eat lunch, come back. And at one, they're like, all right, if you haven't been called, you're dismissed. The best part about it is there's a Jimmy John's right down the street. You go get a little Jimmy John's, a little sandwich. And you're good. And they give you like a free lunch certificate. Perfect.
So we talked about how my wife's pregnant, and this was like at the very early stages of it. And she had a very important appointment that I had to go to on the Thursday or Friday of that week. And so on Tuesday, when I was there for jury duty and they told me I was selected, that was not a very fun phone call to make to my wife. Because I didn't know if I was going to be in their trial for 2 weeks. Or a day and a half. Thankfully, it was just a day and a half, and I was able to make the appointment. But a very unhappy pregnant wife when I told her that I managed to somehow get selected for this jury.
You should have picked up a felony in college. You'll never have to deal with that situation.
Yep, there you go, kids. That's what you should take from this segment. Pick up a felon in college, run from a police officer while highly intoxicated, and you'll never serve on a jury.
evading, just running around. I was conditioning.
Hey, Appel, how does your wife Mara feel about you wanting to name your child Mike White Appel?
She's not the biggest fan of it.
All right, let's do headlines.
You can go with Channing Appel. Come on,
she did seem open to that idea.
I know. I talked to Mara at Funky Buddha, and I was like, "Hey, Channing is a hell of a name. There's not a lot of Channings. It's unique." He can pick up a felony in college.
I'm trying to get Bradley Sam off the ground, too, in honor of Marshan and Sam Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You naming your kids after Panthers players would be very peak Josh Appel. I, for one, can't make any jokes because I named my dog Fauci. So I will gladly tap out of this conversation. Headlines.
And you can't make babies, so keep the dogs going.
And I can't make babies, yeah. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sport, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Marlins play tonight, as you all know. We talked with Kyle Seeloff the last time, who I thought was great, by the way. Love having him.
Yeah.
And Inter Miami plays tomorrow. We'll talk with Chris Whittingham. We talked about the Ashton Davis injury. I wanted to read you this before Rondae Gadsden comes on. Get your thoughts on this, Crowder. So Barry Jackson tweets this out. Dolphins tight end Tanner Connor, who has had, this is what Barry Jackson tweets, who has had a good camp and answers questions thoughtfully, had an interesting answer when asked if McDaniel, head coach Mike McDaniel, has changed. Quote, he's the same Mike. I've been with him ever since he's been here. He's genuine to himself and cares a lot about us and wants everyone to have a special career. Mike hasn't changed at all. But, Barry Jackson writes, quote, I think maybe the emphasis around him, this is Tanner Connor, and respecting him more as players has changed as we've gotten some players out who might not have been as respectful. The team is very bought in. They believe in Mike and what he wants to do. That's kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of a shot at Jalen Ramsey, no? Maybe indirectly. Like, I don't know if Tanner Connor is calling him out, but like Tanner Connor is saying guys who are no longer here may not have been as respectful as the guys who are in that locker room right now. And, well, Jalen Ramsey's not here anymore. We know there was something behind the scenes.
Yeah, because I'm when you read it, so I did the same thing you did. I'm like, Calais Campbell's not disrespecting anybody. Teron Armstead's not disrespecting anybody. So I went down the list and I was like I said, I know Jay Ram, he'll tell you F you quick. So he might took, like you say, indirect shot at Jalen. And there's no other guys that are off the team that, like, Jonnu Smith is a great human being. He's, you know, he's a, you know, do your job type guy. So I think that was a Jalen Ramsey quote. And I don't want to, you know, we're deductive reasoning here, but Jay Ram will tell you F you real quick.
I mean this in the most respectful way possible. Is Tanner Connor really the guy that should be out here saying that?
Josh, I think the roster, who's the guy that can say that?
Honestly, to that point, literally, like, literally anybody but Tanner Connor.
Or Liam Eikenberg.
Right.
Hey, Liam. Hey, Liam, take it easy, brother. We don't need your opinion on things. But no, like, I remember Cam Cameron. Dudes were cussing him flat out like he was a child. I try to keep the names back. Joey Porter used to cuss out Cam Cameron in front of everybody. Hey, guys, that was a tough loss. Man, we ain't worth a damn with your dumb ass. Yeah, fellas, you know, I know there's some frustration in the room. And, like, it was just like, man, you can't talk to a coach in that fashion. And I don't know if it was that extreme with Mike McDaniel, but, like, I don't know. Tell me. I don't want to say. Does it look like he garners respect? Does he act like he acts like a little brother? He doesn't act like in a hierarchy. It doesn't look like he's on top.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't know. I think there's nuance to that because maybe the way he garners respect is not by commanding it, but it's by just, and look, we've hammered this conversation to death already in the past, like, not just us, everybody that covers the Miami Dolphins, fans of the Miami Dolphins, like, does McDaniel have respect in the locker room? By the way, by his own admission, saying that he didn't last year. He's the one that offered up all this this material. So but I don't know, like, I don't think it's fair to say that he's not respected in the locker room. I just think it looks different. And look, to your point, Crowder, you've been in the locker room. Maybe guys don't respect him. I don't know. But I don't think it's fair to just put a blanket statement on it and say because he's not Mike Tomlin or because he's not how Bill Belichick ran his team or because, you know, like, I don't think it's fair to just put a blanket statement on it and say he's not respected in the locker room because he's friendly with the guys. The question that we continue to ask is, can he lead this team, right? Like, by approaching it this way, and Tanner Connor's telling you he hasn't changed, can he be a good enough head coach, and can he lead the men that he's hired to lead to go win games? Like, that's the question.
I know this always goes hand in hand, but it feels like this conversation is only a thing because last year did not go as well as 2023. Like, we weren't having this conversation in 2023, whether or not Mike McDaniel can lead this group. We weren't having this conversation when they lost to Buffalo in the first round with Skylar Thompson, when they nearly pulled off that incredible upset. Can Mike McDaniel lead this team? It's only after we saw cracks in what they were trying to do last year, and obviously a Tyreek Hill saga, what happened with Jalen Ramsey this past offseason. That comes when you don't have success and all the noise just gets louder. So I don't know how much of this is just a product of the results they're having, because I know I just said, who is Tanner Connor really qualified to give this this thought publicly? But like, if Tanner Connor, who's been there as long as McDaniel has, is saying he's been the same guy for the most part all 4 years, the only thing that's different is the actual results. So I think, like, again, we're just playing the results, which is fair, and that's what we do.
Hey, Josh, I don't know if you heard Adam Schefter. He was saying that too. I asked kind of around. We talked to Adam Schefter about the same thing, about his control and, you know, changing his coaching style and all. And Adam pretty much said, no, he has to win. Winning. Would – you're great. And I'm like, do you have to have the Belichick approach to win? The only guy I can think of, like a Tony Dungy or a Pete Carroll, who actually, hell, he's with the Vegas Raiders now. But, like, they were that player, you know, like, friendly, joke around, throw balls, cover receivers and drills, that kind of coach. And Tony won a championship, and Pete won a championship. So we were talking about, and that's kind of what Adam said, was like, yeah, it's result-driven. So you could be the nicest dude in the world. If you win football games, they'll say, oh, this is a nice coach winning. But we're used to, maybe because the majority of the pot of coaches are that hard-nosed Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, that kind of approach to it. But, man, I was in Atlanta and with the Rams in the last 3 days. Raheem Morris is a nice dude, but when he walks in the room, you see the guys kind of like tighten up. It's weird to see. I'm guaranteed I did it around Saban. Like, if you're over there talking about, you know, partying and hanging out, and you see Saban walking the door, you change your conversation. Even Sean McVay, they all come from that Kyle Shanahan tree. Or hell, Marty Shanahan, whatever the hell his daddy's name is. Like, they come down that path. Kevin O'Connell. Mike Shanahan. Yeah, it's Mike and Kyle's his boy. And then they were all in, what, Tampa together, and then San Francisco and all that. But, like, you look at Kevin O'Connell, Raheem Morris, Sean McVay, they were all together, and they're that new age of coach. But when Sean McVay walks around a player, they tighten up. I watched it yesterday. I was in L.A. yesterday. I watched it with players with Sean. I watched it Sunday with players with Raheem. I don't know. I've never been in a Dolphin facility like that to see if that respect is there. If he walks in the room, if their conversation changes. But it, I guess from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like he has that same approach. And it might be the reports that people have said that were kind of, yeah, he wasn't finding people, and he find them. They didn't care. They come late to his meetings and all that stuff. And it kind of made me feel a certain way. Like, you're not coming to a Raheem Morris meeting late. He's going to cuss your ass out.
All right, we'll talk about it more with Aronde Gadsden in the next segment. Thursday, OG the second, I would imagine, is going to make his debut in a Chargers jersey. We know Aronde is going up there. I want to talk to him a little bit about that. We'll do it in the next segment. More Hawk, Crowder, and Solana show coming up after this.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Jimmy, you know how to make a hot tea?
No, I do not.
You know the ingredients of tea?
Water.
All right, we went very late in the last segment, and there's a lot to get to with Aronde Gadsden. So let's do it. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Aronde Gadsden, former Miami Dolphins wide receiver, a friend of the show, and somebody who I would imagine is very, very excited for the Hall of Fame game coming up. OG, are you headed out? You're headed out to Canton, right, for Thursday's game? Chargers, Lions, OG the second. I guess, and I don't know, you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I guess we'll make his debut in the NFL on Thursday?
I'm headed out there. That's the best I can tell you.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what else is confirmed from there.
Right.
So,
right.
I'll make it out there, you know.
He's still
a rookie. You know, he's still gotta cut his teeth somewhere. But hopefully, I expect him to get some special teams from somewhere. So
all right, and OG, here's something I've been wanting to ask you. When that moment does come, if it's Thursday or not, when it does come, and you watch your son out on the field in an NFL game, will you be emotional? Like would Aronde Gadsden, would you cry watching your son out there? I would imagine that's got to be, you know. I mean, watch him at Syracuse. No,
I don't know if I'm a cry. I mean, I'll be more excited come September 5th if he get out there. You know what I'm saying? Like this, you know, this is okay. This is like, you know, getting spinach dip. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for the steak and potatoes to come. Like if he's out there, you know, sometime between September and January, I may get a little emotional. Probably more first touchdown emotional. You know what I mean? I'll probably be more emotional for that. But I'm excited. You know, he's put in a lot of work. He's trying to, you know, get himself ingrained in it. I think he's got a good situation. Like I said, I think the most important thing is he's going to an organization where the head coach and the quarterback is solid. We don't have to worry about them. And, you know, that makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, 6'5", 240, draft pick. He about to play, OG. I don't know he's trying to be. Yeah, he's trying to run around. Little OG about to be on that field on Thursday night.
That's the math, huh?
Yeah, that's the math. I'm guaranteeing he about to play. And, yeah, he better know how to kick back at left guard on punt team, too, because, yeah, he about to be on special team. Have you cut him loose yet? Because it's crazy. We've kind of talked about it where you coached him in high school. You coached, you know, through college. You talking with him, you know, saying he's a receiving tight end and you're a great receiver. Like, is it any more football conversation between you and Lil OG?
Yeah, not really. The last one was when I dropped him off to go to training camp. And that was probably the last one. Now, you know, it's just everything else is he telling me what's going on. Like I told you, when I talked to him and told him, you know, you got to do this and do this, he's like, yo, kickoff only 10 yards. So I'm letting his coaches coach him. You know what I mean? Like I can't really, you know, the tight end situation, you know, because they into the tight end stuff now. It's not, you know, hey, you know, it's the receiver stuff is over. So I can't really, you know, mess with him too much because he got plays and he got people counting on him. So my dad told me that probably not going to work when you get paid. So I'm just sitting back and waiting for my car insurance to get paid. That's all I wait for.
don't tell Harbaugh my daddy told me this.
That ain't gonna work. I might work in college. I can get away with that with Fran, but I can't get away with that with the Chargers. So you know, listen, it's an exciting time. I think everybody, you know, it's the time where everybody's going to Super Bowl, so it's a good time. You just want to be part of it, and I'm pretty sure he does too. You know, he's 22 years old, so I'm pretty sure he's having a blast. And we all know, like, this not the time, you know what I mean? The time for that would be March, you know what I mean? Cause you got too much going on. I'm trying to explain that to his mom because, you know, she's like, what about this? Well, I'm like, yo, he don't have time for that. Now, he in rinse and repeat, like, he trying to make this team. He trying to do all that. And so it's tough going through it. You know, from afar, but you know, that's what it is. And in LA, the off the field things are so much different than here. You know, that's the daunting task because he's one. You know, Syracuse was a little different because, you know, it's a small environment, but LA is his own animal. You know,
OG, I know it hasn't been that long. Obviously, we're just in the training camp. He's been there for rookie minicamp and whatnot, but I'm curious what he's said about his coach Harbaugh so far to this point. We just got done talking in the last segment, and I know that you've talked about this on the show as well, just about Mike McDaniel and his leadership style and how it's viewed and how it's not viewed. So I'm curious, has your son, has he talked at all about Jim Harbaugh and what that experience has been like to this point so far?
You know, I think just from knowing the foundation of what they have going on over there. Like I said, Coach Harbaugh brought like, you know, 22 people from Michigan. So it's kind of college feel. He likes it. He likes the way, you know, he interacts with all of the players. He knows everybody's name and nickname, but he's a coach's coach. He likes to coach when it's not time, you know, for the plays. So he does a lot of coaching with the players on the sideline. He said he'll even make you skip reps so he can continue coaching you. But, you know, I think he is who we see. I don't think it's any different. But he spends more time with his tight end coach. His tight end coach was the coach for Darren Waller and a few other coaches, and he learns a lot from him. So, you know, he only sees Harbaugh in the team meetings and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure Coach Harbaugh is more a mix of players coach and dictatorship. I think he's found that fine line to straddle. And, you know, it works. I think more than not, I think he has the game plan that works for the players he's picked. So I think that's probably more of it than anything. I think he gets the player that fits in his system, and that works. And he's, you know, he's made it work in the pros before, and he made it work in college, and now he's back.
OG, I just left L.A., so when you talk to little OG again, I don't got his number. Tell him to go to the Beverly Club or Catch on the weekend, because he's in L.A. now and he can catch him something.
Yeah, I definitely tell him. He's been trying to stay away from them fences, you know, his training camp, and he said, "Dad, there's a lot of people at the fence." And they look at me. I was like, "Yeah, they're gonna look at you." You ain't in Syracuse no more.
Pretty eyes. Eyes. You big old dude. He'll kill the kill the bar at Catch.
Yeah, he's not in Syracuse no more, Toto. they playing for keeps out there. I try to tell him, man, but you know those are the things. As a dad, you try to explain, but you know, you only know until you know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you, they gonna be at you. Ah, nobody care. Okay, all right.
Just based off this combo, OG, maybe tell little OG the best decision here is to block Uncle Channing's number for at least two steps.
No, because that advice is not good advice. Listen, we trying to learn from Channing's advice mistakes. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. Because, you saw what he just told the kids just a second ago. Get a felony in school, and then you don't have to worry about jury duty. That's the kind of fortune cookie I'm a Channing giving out. Hey, kids, hey, you want a fortune cookie?
OG, I wanted to talk Dolphins with you, but we're a little up against it. And you know, we'll have you on pretty much every week throughout the season. But today's National Chicken Wing Day, and famously on this show, Hawk, you know, once included boneless in his famous in his Mount Rushmore chicken wing flavors, and
it is
probably
not
one of our best segments. But how do you feel about this today? So Hawk and Josh Appel, who's doing the show with us today, they go to dinner. They're celebrating National Chicken Wing Day, and our very own Josh Appel. You're at Hooters, right, Appel?
Yeah, at Hooters.
Yeah, he ordered boneless chicken wings. Like is that embarrassing? Would you be embarrassed to sit down with somebody who's ordering boneless chicken wings on National Chicken Wing Day, OG?
Super embarrassed. I'd probably get out and go to the bar and leave him there by himself, because that's not correct. Yeah. That's not good. You might as well go to McDonald's and get you some nuggets. Come on, man. It's not a chicken wing. A wing has a bone, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like even the special they have at 7-Eleven, you get the bone-in wings. Now, you eat them at your own peril, but I'm just saying, they got a wing with a bone. Like, you can't go to a place, the place with the orange shorts, you can't order boneless chicken wings. Come on, pal. You can do better than that. Yeah, but you know what? Y'all might have boneless chicken wings at the Marlins game sometimes when you were there. Probably that's where you got hooked on that.
OG, don't sit here and act like if we were sitting at lunch together and I didn't finish four bone out wings on my plate that you wouldn't take that plate and finish it off for me. Don't act like you wouldn't. Don't act
bone in. Yes, I it kind of what flavor you got. I don't know. You might have a different palate than mine, Appel. No, medium. I could deal with that medium. I could deal with that. If you had a wing, you know what I'm saying, a good wing left over that's been sitting there and it's looking like, you know, you got some cold blue cheese, I might help you out. But boneless? No, I got nothing to do with you on that part, man. I had some
bone out wings. So they were great.
No, I don't want bone out wings. We need bone in wings, man. Like bone in. I don't understand.
It ain't called a damn bone out wing. Remember, bone in that damn wing.
No, that's chicken nuggets. That's chicken nuggets, bro. That's chicken nuggets. I don't care what sauce you put them in. I don't care how many times they slop them in the bowl and make them flip. It's a chicken nugget. Bro, it's like dinosaur chicken nuggets. No, you got to get a bone inside. Like the wing has two little bones and the leg has one big bone. Like, come on. We got to do better than that in 2025. We got to do better.
Agreed. OG, we're up against it, but just
problem.
A word of advice when you're in Canton this weekend, if, you know, it's hot outside, and you need a place to rest. Just pull a Channing Crowder move and head to the movie theater to take a nap, which is what he famously did in Canton, Ohio, when he was up there for Zach Thomas's Hall of Fame induction. Just head to the movie theater.
While I do that, I'm giving me some popcorn too. I'm good with that. I could do that. It's been a while since I snuck in a movie, but I'll go in a movie and go in the back and go to sleep. No problem. Good idea, Channing. Good idea. Which theater do you remember? How many screens do they have? Five or six?
Listen, bro. Canton, Ohio ain't got many places to go, so we probably gonna be in the same theater. But they got the layback seat. I thought it was genius. I checked out the hotel. I had to get on the flight later. I said, man, me and my wife, we're gonna take a nap in the movies.
Oh, you took your wife. She was down with it. Man, that's a good wife right there. That was all right right there. That's a good woman. You got you a good woman right there.
OG, we're rooting for Lil OG on
thanks, man.
You know, on Thursday, and seriously, enjoy it up there. We'll talk next week.
All right, man. Thanks. You guys, yes, take it easy.
Yes, sir. Aronde Gadsden. All right. We're up against it. We're going to try to get back onto the clock. We're going to talk with Chris Whittingham in the next hour, and we'll talk more Miami Dolphins camp notes, first day of padded practice, next on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'm just saying that I'm Hawk. We talk Tua. Hawk Tua.